Welcome to the WebSphere Support Technical Exchange. Today's topic is Enabling WebSphere MQ Traffic with WebSphere Data Power Use Case Scenarios. Today's presenter is Chin Sahu. Chin has been working as an advisory software engineer in application and integration middleware, technical support, and customer service for the last 9 years. He is responsible in providing technical support and best practices for data power products for 3 years. Chin also works as the MQ pod leader within the data power support teams. He has presented technical papers in IBM-sponsored conferences and has written several tech notes, knowledge collections, and must gathers relating to data power products. Chin is an IBM-certified solution developer for WebSphere Data Power SLA appliance and for XML and related technologies. At this time, I would like to turn the presentation over to Chin.
Okay, thank you, Joseph. And my name is Chin. I'm just trying to present this topic on the enabling WebSphere MQ traffic with WebSphere Data Power, some use case scenarios. So please go to the next slide. Today's agenda will cover the topics of these things. So we'll start with the MQ traffic patterns, and then we'll discuss a little bit more on this MQ message processing mode, and then I will present some use case scenario, and later on we'll continue discussing this MQ routing in data power and then troubleshooting. After that, we'll present you some useful links, and then you'll have the option to ask us some questions and answers sessions. So please go to the next slide, please. Slide number 3. When we are talking about MQ traffic patterns in data power, I'm referring to the multi-protocol gateway service, which acts like a protocol bridging. So with that in mind, I'll describe some of the patterns, so the message, the traffic patterns. So if we are talking about the multi-protocol gateway service, you know, if you remember that, it will have a front-side handler which will receive the message, and you have a back-side handler or URL opener which will send that message to the back end. So therefore, we have the two different, you know, handler for the same service, and the traffic patterns we can process here is MQ to MQ, where you have the front side MQ, back side also MQ. In that particular scenario, you can also use MQ with units of work, as well as MQ with the SSL channel. Then you'll also have the option to use MQ to HTTP, where you can configure HTTP in the front, MQ in the back, or vice versa. Similarly, you can also have the choice of using MQ to JMS, or MQ to TIBCO EMS, or even MQ to FTP or FTPS. These are different patterns, you know, even though you can combine, you know, in different ways, but, you know, you got the idea that how you can have something in the front side and something in the back, and they can bridge together and the message will flow. Next slide, please. Now we are talking about the message processing mode. In the MQ language, we'll use the datagram traffic, which is basically a one-way or asynchronous mode, and the other one is the synchronous mode, which is the request-reply traffic. In the datagram traffic, we have datagram with, I mean, of course, using a multi-protocol gateway service. Then you have the choice of using datagram with custom error handling, datagram with distribution list, and datagram with transactionality. In the same way, you can also process request reply traffic, which is synchronous, using a multi-protocol gateway with, you know, different type of queues. So you can have a request queue and reply queue. You can also use the features called dynamic routing using MQOD. Also, you can use the model queue with the request reply traffic, as well as the transactionality with the request reply traffic. Next slide, please. Here we are talking the datagram traffic. What are the requirements when you are trying to process the datagram traffic in DataPower? And again, you know, the multi-protocol gateway is the center. That is the service that you are going to use. In the multi-protocol gateway, you will have a request rule only. There is no response rule because you are not getting or expecting any response from the back end. May have an error rule if you want to use or process your error. There is also a parameter called backend process backend errors, which is visible in the advanced tab of the multi-protocol gateway. That has to be off because that you are not expecting any response. Then your request type can be any one of these four types: XML, SOAP, non-XML, or pass-through. But the key part is that the response type should be passed through because you don't want to process any response from the back end. Then the request MQMD is not altered in the datagram traffic, and the backside MQ URL only specifies the request queue. We'll talk a little more further in the MQ URL later on. So next slide, please. Datagram with custom error processing. Here, if you want to process the error in your own way, you know, basically you want to process the error handling instead of the device handling the error, so you'll use this particular configuration. Of course, you'll use a request rule, then you'll use a response rule. In the response rule, you'll try to capture the response code by using this particular special variable called DP response header, and that particular variable name called x-dp-response-code. That basically gives you the response code from the back end. Now, if the response is, the back end put is successful, you'll get a code of zero. Anything other than zero means it is a failure condition. And because you are dealing with the MQ traffic, MQ queue manager in the back end will send you a MQ region code if there is a failure, and those region codes are being captured by this particular method. And they are considered to be starting with 2, then it has a 4 digit, so 2010, 2009, 2059, like that. So if you see that you are getting something 20, some, you know, other than 0, then you will use a DP reject variable to reject your response processing right there so that it will be invoked. The error rule will be invoked. And in that situation, the process backend error should be on because you are trying to process, you know, some kind of response, in this case, the response code. And in the error rule, you'll use the var service error ignore variable to a value of 1, which means true, so that it will handle the rollback or the message. You will handle the message so that the queue manager will understand that it will roll back or commit based on how you're going to handle the message in your error rule. Next slide, please. Now we are talking about datagram with a distribution list. Datagram can, you know, in this scenario, you have one single message and you are trying to send it to multiple destinations. In DataPower, you can do this particular scenario by using the MQOR object. It's called MQ object record. But the MQ object record has to be injected with the help of MQOD. Therefore, you'll define a structure like MQOD. Within that, your MQOR structures will be defined with the queue names that you want to send for your backend. So once you define this particular structure, then you'll serialize the MQOD string and then inject that using the set request header name. And that is just a simple example that I have shown you that, this is accomplished by using a custom style sheet. You can also use a header injection tab by defining your MQOD structure this way. But this is the only way that you can provide that information to DataPower. DataPower will get the message and will send the same message to all these queues, whatever you define. So that simply gives you a better way of consolidating, one call to send all the messages, same message to different destinations. Next slide, please. Here we're talking about the transactionality. The very transactionality means unit of work, and DataPower supports only the local unit of work, which means the queue manager coordinates the basic operations of MQ commit and the rollback. So that is what we are talking about, the local unit of work. On the front side service, transactions are enabled when the unit of work is set one in the QM object. In the QM object, we'll show you a little later, the default value is 0, means it doesn't have the transactionality on. But if you put that 0 to 1, you'll see some other property that will pop up, and then you'll have to configure those things, and we'll show you a little later on. Both get and put operations use the same connection in the transactionality mode, and MQ commit performed only after successful put. If the put failed, then the message will be either rolled back, or it will be, if you are not using automatic backout feature in the queue manager object, then message will be put, it will not be deleted in the get queue. And the front and back side use the same queue manager configured in the QM object. That is the one, I think the queue manager object is part of the QM object. So queue manager name is defined or configured in the queue manager object. We'll show you a little bit later on. So next slide, please. Datagram with unit of work continued. On the backend URL, you'll use this tag called transactional equal to true for datagram traffic. For request reply, you'll use sync equal to true and transactional equal to true to indicate that when the put message is operated, or transacted, in the put operation is done, then the message will be available to the third-party application, which will take that message, prepare the response, and that response will be put into the reply queue. Therefore, that entire transaction will be in the unit of work or the sync point. Therefore, you'll use sync equal to true and transaction equal to true. But if you use sync equal to true, then MQ commit is performed immediately after the put, and that is something that, you have a choice. But remember, you want to use the transaction equal to true if you want to continue or enable the transactionality for the datagram, and then for request reply, you have to use sync equal to true and transaction equal to true. Use automatic backout as on, and then you'll use in the variable service error ignore to one to handle the rollback in the error rule. Otherwise, if you don't use this particular variable to one, you will see that there may be some uncommitted messages in the queue. Therefore, the input queue or input count, or at least, you know, they will have some left out connections. Next slide, please. Now we are talking about request reply traffic with multi-protocol gateway. As you know, request reply will need request rule, response rule. If you want to process error, then you'll need the error rule. Then again, you'll capture the response code. This is, again, you are using MQ traffic. This is the context, not other traffic, only MQ traffic. So you'll use the response code by the same variable and then check if the response code is something like greater than 0 and has a pattern 2XXX. Then if it is that, then you reject that processing, and then that will invoke the error rule, and the error rule, you'll have the service error ignore to one to handle your message there, and then the back end error should be on because you have both response rule in that processing. Next slide, please. This is what we are talking about, the request reply traffic with the dynamic routing. The dynamic routing, what I mentioned here, is based on your MQMD. Your MQMD comes with two headers called reply to queue and reply to queue manager. Now, if your traffic is coming with a reply to queue and the reply to queue manager populated in the MQMD, then DataPower will try to set up the routing based on those values. But sometimes you may not want to route that particular traffic based on that value, but you are rather want to use it to route the message in your own way, in your processing policy. So in order to handle that kind of situation, I'm describing two situations here. When the reply to queue is populated, there is a reply to queue manager, which can be same that you have configured in the data power, or it can be different. If it is the same, you'll need to use a internal header, data power internal header called reply to queue to a value as empty string. So that will basically disable the automatic routing, and then you can take that information, use your own way to route the message. This is one situation where you want to save the reply to queue and use that value in your response rule to inject in the MQOD. Therefore, the message will go to the right queue. Go to next slide, please. It is the same situation where you have the reply to queue and reply to queue manager populated by MQMD, but the reply to queue manager is different than the queue manager configured in the data power. So in that sense, you will also use the other internal variable called reply to QM as empty string. Therefore, that your routing can be controlled by your own policy. So now once you set those reply to Q and reply to QM, remember, reply to Q and reply to QM, these are two internal data power variables. They are not similar, or they are not same as MQMD variables, which has also reply to Q and reply to Q manager. They are different. So those two variables are used in data power in order to set up the routing. So you need to make them as empty. Then you save this reply to queue and reply to queue manager value in a context variable. Use those values in your response rule to inject the MQOD. Therefore, you will be able to route the message to the proper destination. Next slide, please. Now we're talking about request reply traffic with model queue. Model queue is simply a local queue which is defined as a set of attributes, the queue attributes, It's like a template. When you are using model queue, the queue manager will create some dynamic queues and use those queues for your reply message purpose. So this very simple, the way that you will use in DataPower means you will use a model queue, you will create a model queue in the queue manager, and that particular name will be specified in your reply queue, and then you will use a tag called model equal to true. So let's go to the next step, please. Next slide. Here is that example. That's very simple. The requirement is you will use a model queue in the queue manager, and that model queue is used in the DataPower MQ URL as a reply queue, and the tag called model equal to true, that will basically take the MQ1 as the model queue. Queue manager will create the temporary queue and put that reply message in there, and then DataPower will receive the reply from that particular queue and process. What this need is that if you don't want to designate a permanent or a local queue temp permanently, or you don't know what will be a exact name, so you can use a model queue at that kind of situation and process your request and response this way. Next slide, please. Now we are talking about the message delivery mode. We already told that DataPower handles the unit of work or the transactionality, and I just want to clarify that we do support the one-phase commit. We do not support the two-phase commit because it is not a global unit of work. It is a local unit of work. The same MQQ manager must be used in the front-side handler and the MQURL opener. All processing action must be synchronous. There are some actions, you know, you can make it synchronous or like asynchronous, but when you are using the transactionality, all processing action must be synchronous. And the same connection is shared across all MQ operations within a transaction. So basically that is internally is being handled. Guaranteed once and only once message delivery. In all other cases, it is at least once message delivery. No message will ever be lost. This is the design. That is what the transactionality works. Go to the next slide, please. If the same queue manager is used in both front-side handler and back-side MQURL opener, then message from the input queue will be resent if input connection fails. No duplicates in output queue, means in the put queue. Scenario 2, when two separate MQ queue managers are used in the front-side handler and a back-side MQ URL opener, there may be chance that duplicate messages may appear in the output queue because, you know, situation where we try to commit once the backside put is successful. So if the backside, you know, in the event that the box crashes, that message is still there in the device, and then it will put the same message again. So therefore, it may have chance to have some duplicate message if you are using two different queue manager, one for the front side, one for the other, you know, backside URL. Go to the next slide, please. Now we are talking about the use case scenario. I have, you know, described here two simple and, you know, very common use case scenario here, that we have a front-side MQ and we want to send that to a back-end MQ with MQRFS2 header. So basically you are getting an MQ message and you are going to make that message as RFS2 message for the back-end. So you'll use the multi-protocol gateway service with MQ as the front-side handler, and you'll use also a MQ backside URL opener, but the message, the MQ RFS2 message, will be created in DataPower, and it will be delivered as a datagram to the backend queue manager. But this use case also using the Uniswap work, same queue manager for both front side and the back side. That is just the description of the use case. So let's go to the next slide, please. Here, I'm sorry that it may be hard to read it, but I just highlighted the two things here. When you are using the units of work, you see that there is a value 1, says units of work, the value is 1. Then automatic backout, I'm using on, that is the best practice. The backout threshold, I'm using a value of 2, and this is configurable. You can make it 2, 3, you know, this is a value, what we call the tolerance level. How many times you want to process the same message if you want to, you know, retry. So that is what the number here. And then if it fails after that many attempts, what is the queue that message will roll over? So that is what the backout queue name is there, and you have to provide a valid backout queue name. So that way, when the message will retry that many times, if it fails, then the message will go to the backout queue. Of course, you know, you can redirect these messages based on your own custom error handling, and that error handling part, when we discuss about, you know, you can set the var service error ignore variable, and then you can say, I can send that message to a different queue. Depending on the conditions, like, you know, if you have certain condition, you want to send it to backout, certain condition, you want to send it to a different destination, you can do that in the error rule. The other part I want to highlight here is the retry interval, retry attempts, and long retry interval and reporting interval. This is a feature is available in 3.8, and we have improved this retry and retry interval and the retry attempt. What these two retry interval, retry attempts does is that if a particular connection, it is not a message, it is a connection, is not available or somehow the connection was terminated, the queue manager object will retry to connect to the queue manager in the back end, and it will try so many times. It will try 6 times with 10-second interval. After this six attempts are completed, then it will go back to a long retry interval, which is a 1,200-second. You know, in situation where you have a production device and then the queue manager suddenly went down for some reason, then it will try for 6 times. If it fails, then it will stagger 1,200-second, which is probably 20 minutes. Then after 20 minutes, we'll try to see if there is the queue manager is up or coming back or like that. So that is a new feature that we have introduced in 3.8. But if the default value is retry attempt is 0, if you leave the default value as a 0, then it will never use the long interval. It will just continue to retry. So it is because that we want to keep the backward compatibility, and therefore we left it like this, but in your configuration you should change that to a positive number. And I think you will provide, you know, in the queue manager object, you will provide the host name and the IP address and the queue manager name, the channel name, the user name, etc. And there is also the message, the maximum message size. This is something that has some relevance. You know, once if you have a particular situation where your message has gone up, you know, the message size that you are processing suddenly increased, and then it will fail to connect, or at least, you know, it will fail to process. So therefore, you have to change these maximum message size in the queue manager object, and if the corresponding changes in the back end queue manager also has to change so that they all agree together. Okay, next slide, please. We saw the queue manager object in the back side, not the backside, that is the queue manager object, which is used for both front and back. But that is the configuration that you'll do it for a queue manager object. Without the queue manager object, the front side handler, the MQ front side handler will not work. Therefore, you'll have a queue manager window where you can select the queue manager and your get queue, you can select a particular queue that you want to get the message. So that is your get queue. In some situation, you can have also put queue. So the put queue is basically used when your response comes back and that message will go to the put queue. But if you are using dynamic routing, you know, using MQOD or some other main, then you don't need the put queue because you are trying to send it to a different destination, not to a fixed queue. But if you need to have just a fixed queue, this is the place that you can define. Now, I'm sorry that it is not very easily readable, but once you go to the device and you can configure some front-side handler, you'll see, or if when you probably see it, maybe the PDF file, you'll be able to read it a little more better. I think this is all default value. There is no change. Just want to mention the get message option. The default value is 4097. We have seen that sometimes that may cause some problem in the sense that the 4097 is a decimal value, which is created out of the cumulative or the addition of the get message option code. In the MQ, they have the get message options as hexa, and once you convert the hexa to decimal, you can add them up to define your own GMO, the get message option. The 4097 represent 1 plus 4096. 4096 is the one who is saying that use sync point if the message is persistent. So that 4096 plus 1 is to wait for, you know, wait interval, which is 30 seconds in this case. So those two combinations gives you 4097. If you have problem, you can change that to some other, like suppose you don't want to use the sync point, even if the message is persistent, you can just use 1. Or you can use just 1 plus 4, which is no sync point, which will be 5. So these are some configurations that you should consider if there is problem. Otherwise, the default should work. It has been, you know, working for many situations, but there are situations. I just want to make sure that you are, you know, aware or cognizant of this particular GMO issue. Next slide, please. Here is the RFS2 requirement. When you want to make a MQ message to RFS2 message, the first requirement is that your MQMD format has to have a special header called MQH RFS2. Remember, we call it as MQ RFS2, but the header name is MQH RFS2. So that is just to make it compatibility, because it says MQ, H stands for header, rules formatting, RF2. That is why the MQ, the header is MQH RFS2, but we are calling MQ RFS2. So it's just a difference. But it is the first requirement that you have to inject the format value as MQH RFS2 in the MQMD. And this is just a simple style sheet here. I'm just defining the string variable with the MQMD structure with the format as the header. The value is MQH RFS2. It has to be exact. If you make some spelling mistakes or something, it will not work. So make sure that you follow the exact, you know, keyword. And then you serialize, and then basically using the set request header, you'll inject the MQMD with that value. So that is simply saying that I'm going to make the MQMD header as RFS2 header. Therefore, the RFS2 header will follow in the next slide. So let's go to the next slide, please. This is a style sheet. Again, you have to define the RFS2 header in terms of its own structure. It has got several things, the structure ID, the version number, the encoding, the CCS ID, the format. Remember here, the format in the RFS2 header, I'm using MQSTR because it is a string data. But you can use something else, but not the one called MQ8RFS2 because that has to go in the MQMD. So all these things you have to define, because if you know the RFS2 header, you'll see that there is a MCD folder, there is a JMS folder, and there is a user folder. All these things you have to define and provide, you know, its own value. This is basically we are trying to make a MQ message to RFS2 message. Therefore, we are injecting the two headers, and the payload is the same. It's only the headers are different. So the MQMD and the MQRFS2 will be injected. So now the sequence is important. When you are doing the RFS2 header, the MQMD has to be injected first, then RFS2 will be injected next. The other way it will not work, because the requirement is that MQMD format has to have that particular value called MQHRFS2. The same way you can use the set request header name MQRFS2 and the value which is the serialized string of this particular, you know, structure. So go to the next slide, please. With that, I think we converted from a MQ message to RFS2. Now we are trying to, in this scenario, we are trying to do the other way. You have a MQRFS2 message, and you want to make it to MQ because your backend, you'll only backend application will only take MQ message. So therefore, I have given this scenario here. We'll have the multi-protocol gateway service. You'll have a front-side handler receives the MQRFS2 message. Data power removes the MQRFS2 header from the front side. Suppress the header, the RFS2 header, and then inject the MQ format header for the backend, and then the message is created. And in this scenario, we are also using unit of work, means the transactionality, same queue manager for both front and back side, and we are also using SSL channel for the QM object. So this is just the requirements for this particular scenario. So the key here that you are receiving a RFS2 message. When I say RFS2, it means the headers are RFS2. Then you are trying to convert that message to an MQ. Now, the payload and the header together called as the message. So that's what we are trying to do. Go to the next slide, please. The first thing that in the MQ front-side handler, you're going to exclude these two headers in the front side. So that's why there is a feature here in the front side handler. You'll select those check marks, rules and formatting header, and rules and formatting header 2. So those two things you have to exclude. Therefore, those things will not be part of your payload. If you don't exclude those things, they will be part of the payload. Therefore, if you are using, say, for example, XML message with RFS2, then that message will not be an XML, because the addition of these headers into the payload will invalidate the well-formedness. Therefore, you should exclude when you are trying to read the message. Now, next slide, please. Here, we are trying to use the header injection. I just want to show you. It's a very simple way that you can do the header injection, and I'm defining the MQMD with the header format, and the string is MQSTR. Remember, when the message came, the MQMD format probably will have that MQHRFS2. Therefore, we want to make that a string, because MQ message doesn't have that particular MQH RFS to header. It has to have MQ stream, MQ str. And then I want to also suppress this particular header called MQ RFS 2. So those two conditions are required, and the front side you will suppress those two headers. Therefore, the message will be the payload. The payload will be what you see or expect without any extra header information, and then these two things needs to be injected, one for the MQMD and the other one is suppressing the MQ RFS 2. Once these things are done, the data power will convert the RFS 2 message to a MQ message and send it to your backend application, which can consume this particular message. Okay, go to the next slide, please. Okay, so as I mentioned that we will use the SSL channel. So we have two ways of configuring the SSL channel in DataPower. In the Key Manager object, they have a key database choice. Then there is also the SSL proxy profile choice. In the 3.6 era, we have the key database. We still maintain that, and you can still use the key database if you are migrating from your old application to the new. But this is a new feature introduced in 3.6.1, 3.7.3.8, and that where we'll talk more about this SSL proxy. You'll use the crypto profile, and that crypto profile is very simply that used for other type of configuration like HTTPS or FTPS or something similar to that. There is no additional tooling necessary, and the cipher, the key is that your cipher string must match between the data power side and the queue manager side. That is the key. So whatever cipher that you are using in data power, that has to match in the queue manager's channel when you configure the cipher string. Go to the next slide, please. These are some of the configurations that we'll talk about. You know, if you are using, again, this is a mutual authentication. You can use just the identification credential, but if you have a need to use also VAL credential, you can also use the VAL credential. In the ID credential, you need the private key and the public certificate. So from the key manager side, you will have to get that public key, and the data power will have the private certificate. Together, you will need both in terms of configuring the ID credential. But the VAL credential, if you need, you will probably use a third party, like a public certificate, a well-known public certificate for the VAL credential. In your situation, if the company is using the VeriSign or some other, then they can use as a VAL credit. Okay, go to the next slide, please. Here, we are just presenting the ID credential here. You have the crypto key and the certificate, and those things has to be created using the crypto tool, and then you have to use also the validation credential, and then together they will be used in the SSL proxy profile. And in the SSL proxy profile, you'll have a choice of selecting the cipher string, and once you select that, that particular object will be used in the queue manager object where the SSL will be enabled. And this particular situation, your cipher string, whatever you are using in DataPower, must match with the cipher string that is configured in the queue manager. Otherwise, it will not work. Okay, so go to the next slide, please. Here is just an example of the MQMD. Previously, we mentioned the MQMD structure. It has got several headers, you know, starting from structure ID all the way to your application origin data. There are several features that, you know, we can talk here, but people who are familiar with the MQ programming, they understand, you know, what is the message type, when you'll use expiry, and the key thing is the reply to queue and reply to queue manager. These are the two which are used for routing purposes. Then you'll also need message ID, correlation ID. Sometimes those are used for request response scenario. That please note that DataPower consider a message to be reply when its correlation, the response correlation ID matches to the request message ID. So that means if a particular application is creating a response, then that application must save the request message ID and populate that value in the response correlation ID. Therefore, DataPower will identify that for a given request, that is the response. Therefore, it will accept the response from the backend. So there are some fields which are critical. Therefore, you need to, you know, understand what are the value of these MQMD fields or the headers. And, you know, sometimes, you know, there are situations like you want to change the user identifiers, application data or application identity data. These are some things that requires some additional features like the PMO, the put message options, but we'll talk more on that later on. So go to the next slide, please. Here we mentioned about the dynamic routing. The dynamic routing can be achieved by using the MQOD. For distributed, we have one way. For cluster environment, you have a different way. The only difference is for distributed, you need both the object name and the object key manager name. And that is where we are just injecting that you have a MQOD structure, the version, the object name, the object key manager name. Remember that these values we saw that in the MQMD, so you try to save these in the request rule and use these values in your response rule. Therefore, when the response is coming back, you will inject to that header. Therefore, the message will go to that particular queue manager and the queue. And it's the same way that we are using this. It's a simple style sheet where you are just defining the structure, then converting that structure to a serialized string and using that serialized string to set the MQOD header using the DP variable called set-request-header. Go to the next slide, please. Here, only difference here is that we are using only the object name, no queue manager name. Therefore, this works in cluster. Now, the other one works in the distributed environment. Please note that your queue manager has to be configured to handle the routing. Now, by just setting the MQOD, it doesn't work because the MQOD settings has to be incorporated when you are configuring your queue manager in a sense that the queue manager will have the sender channel and the receiving channel, the receiver channel for the distributed environment, whereas in the cluster, they will be all will use the cluster queues. Go to the next slide, please. Now we have seen the dynamic routing using the MQOD. You can also use the MQ URL opener. Like, you know, you probably see that the DPMQ is a function, or you can say the URL opener that uses, you know, a format called DPMQ --/, the queue manager name or queue manager object name, then --? Request type, and then equal to, and you provide a request queue name, the put queue name, then colon, then reply queue, then you'll provide a reply queue name, etc. There are so many. There are other tags that also can be specified in that queue MQRL. that is mostly we call as a static, because you have to have that QM, the queue manager object, configured in the device. Now, suppose you don't have a queue manager object configured, but you want to use a dynamic MQURL opener. So that, for that, you have to use the MQ function, MQ URL opener. This has got several, parameters that you have to provide. That is called the host, then separated by colon with port number, queue manager name, channel name, etc. We have got everything documented in the web GUI, and also we have some other document that gives you some a full range of the parameters that goes with the MQ function or MQ URL. You know, we're talking about DPMQ, which is static, MQ URL, which is dynamic. So in the first case, you have to have the queue manager object configured. In the second case, you don't have the queue manager object configured. Rather, DataPower will create that connection based on your host port and the channel name, queue manager name, etc. And then it will keep the connection with certain time limit. Once the connection is done or the closed, then the queue manager object will be deleted also. Go to the next slide, please. Okay, here comes the troubleshooting. So far, we have seen that, you know, how you can configure the service and you can configure different objects. But when it comes to the problem, you need to know how to configure. How to troubleshoot. I think in DataPower, as you all know, that we have a log level at ranges from, you know, very low level to a high level. The highest is the debug. You can set that log level to debug from a troubleshooting panel, from the troubleshooting icon of the control panel, and then you can save that configuration. Then you'll probably run some transaction. You'll see that every step, all the steps that is going through, you'll be visible in your system log. You have also a feature called probe. In the same way, from the troubleshooting icon, you can enable the probe for that particular service and run some transaction, and you'll be able to see some of these data or request rule, each stage, what the input, what is the output, and the sequence will show everything from beginning to the end of that particular rule. And same way, you'll have request rule, response rule, or even error rule if you have all these rules are configured. There are other things I would like to point out. You know, for the MQ traffic, DataPower tries to display some of the MQ API code. When you are using debug log label, you'll see if there is an error, DataPower will get the API code from the queue manager and will display that as MQ region code in the system log. So please understand that particular region code, why the client, being the DataPower as an MQ client, received this particular region code. You know, situations where you may see 2059 indicates that the queue manager is not available. So there may be situations where the queue manager channel is terminated or some other issue came up, thus that's the reason that you are getting this. Or even when you are processing, there may be other MQ region code that you may see, and that is why I'm suggesting that we have a support pack called MA0K available at this particular site, and you can install it and you'll be able to see what is the meaning of that particular region code and what is the description. Therefore, it will make some sense there. Then you'll be able to see whether it is developer side or the server side who is causing this kind of problem. And I have given here some more links for the support pack on the MQ product. You can see some of these things in the site and then download whatever you like to use later on. Go to the next slide, please. From the server side, I think mostly that you are concerned, you know, if you are using Queue Manager with, you know, a certain number of connections, I think what we see that situations where there are some uncommitted connections in the queue, or there may be some handle issue, or there may be some, you know, other issues. So when you are talking about MQ traffic, we have to talk both sides, you know, the client side as well as the server side. So we need to see from the server side whether the server has adequate resource in terms of the handle, in terms of the connection, and in terms of, you know, the queue that is handling, even sometimes the space. You know, the space is also like for persistent messages, Queue Manager keeps a lot of logging. So the log space may go down, you know, because a lot of things are coming, a lot of messages are coming. So these are some of the issues we have to consider in both sides. So you can have the error logs in the MQ Manager side and check whether there is any hint that the Queue Manager is showing as part of these transactions. And that's what I think we need to correlate between the client side as well as the server side. Okay, go to the next slide, please. So at this time, I just want to highlight the summary, what we have presented here. In this presentation, I have given you some ideas about the traffic patterns, such as MQ to MQ, or MQ to HTTP, or MQ to JMS, or MQ to TIBCO, or vice versa. So these patterns can be implemented using DataPower's multi-protocol gateway service. And we also presented here something, the message processing modes such as datagram, request reply, and its variations with transactionality and also the SSL channel. Configuration involving some use case scenario like MQ to RFS2 or RFS to MQ were discussed, because some of these things were probably not very obvious, even though, you know, we think that we can send a message in one format, it will be done, you know, in the other format. But there are some configuration steps necessary. So therefore, I think we'll try to go to the next slide and, you know, just want to summarize the other things. MQ routing based on the MQMD and MQOD. MQMD is the source of your routing information. MQOD is the process by which you configure the data power to route the message. Then you also saw that MQ routing based on the static and the dynamic URL using the DPMQ function on the MQ functions. The DPMQ is where the QM object is configured in the device, and we call it a local queue manager. Or the MQ is the one where you don't have a queue manager object, but you can always dynamically create one from the data path. Also, we did discuss about the SSL channel using the SSL proxy profile, even though we have also the option of using key database as part of the SSL channel configuration. Also mentioned about the error handling, capturing the response code by using the X-DP-response code, and also mentioned about the process back-end errors situation where you want to make it on or off. Next slide, please. Troubleshooting. We did present something about the data per side using the log label as a debug. Then we have the probe, and then, you know, looking at the MQ region codes to see if that makes any sense, you know, so that you can understand why this particular transaction is giving certain MQ API code. And the server side, we want to make sure that your connections are all closed, there is no handle issues, or maybe, you know, there are some handles which are still not being closed. So these are things which you can use the MQ run MQSC command and then try to examine if you have access to the queue manager in the queue, the MQ server, and then you'll also display the queue status, the channel status, etc., by using some of these MQ commands. I mean, I didn't want to give you all the MQ commands here because that is a different product, and I think we have some docs or documents available in the web that you can look at and see what things are happening. There are things which, you know, you have to take into consideration that we have seen that the data power using certain number of connections based on its total connection limit. You know, you have a initial connection, then total connection limit. Now, when you are configuring many services and using the same queue manager, make sure each object, whatever the total connection limit is defined, using that many connections. So that therefore, that many connections will be reserved for that particular object. So when you are taking account of these number of connections and match up to your queue manager's max channel or max handle, max active channel, they have to be closed, or at least, you know, the max handle channel, max channel or max active channel values will be higher, because there may be situations where other clients are also using the queue manager. So these are some of the things you have to take into consideration when you are designing your application and provide the enough resources, therefore you don't run out of these type of issues. Okay, go to the next slide, please. Now, here is some references. I just mentioned about the Web GUI guide. There is some, you know, CLI reference guide. Then we have some MQ application references and some of the, you know, the style sheet extension elements and extension functions guide. These are all available in the website, in the DataPower download site. We also have some other documents that specifically talk about the integration of MQ with DataPower. For each release, we have published for 373 and 380. Those documents are available also in the download site, in the DataPower download site. Please go to the next slide, please. Okay, this particular link provides you some additional useful links for you guys to see. And this chart includes links to a number of sites that provide valuable online resources for WebSphere products. Visit the WebSphere Support Technical Exchange site to learn more about upcoming WebSphere Support Technical Exchange webcasts like the one you attended today, and access previously recorded presentations. Developer works offer in-depth technical information. Visit WebSphere.org for user group information and more product information. The IBM Education Assistant consists of self-help modules to get new users up the learning curve quickly. The SR tool is for Passport Advantage clients to open, update, and view PMRs online. And the My Notification links on all product support pages lets you sign up for weekly email updates for products of interest to you. I'm just going back to this. Next slide, please. We want to hear from you, so I'll just hand over now to Joseph.
Thank you, Chin, for a great presentation. At this point in time, Jackie, we would like to open the line for questions.
And it looks as though there are no questions.
Thank you, Jackie. At this time, we will conclude the presentation.